I want to speak briefly this evening to explain the message of Christmas. It is a great joy to see you here this evening, particularly if you are a visitor. We do welcome you very warmly. And after this service, there are refreshments available, so please do not rush away. There will be tea, coffee, and refreshments. And if you can stay beyond that, we do have a little time of informal fellowship after that, and you'd be most welcome to stay with us and join with us in that. I want to read to you just one verse from the Bible. It is described as the most famous verse or the most well-known verse in the Bible, John's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 16, and this is what it says: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why is it that it's a time of joy, a time of happiness, a time when we give gifts, a time when we gather with our families and rejoice? Why do we do this? Well, the answer is quite simple. It is because God has displayed his love to us as the human race. We don't always appreciate that, and perhaps many people, when they gather for Christmas, when they give gifts, when they have their family around with them, perhaps they don't even think about these things, and many don't even believe in God. But this is, of course, the origin of Christmas. And for many of us, this is the whole purpose of Christmas, the love of God. We're celebrating the love of God. This evening, very briefly, I want to speak on the love of God. And I want to explain to you why it is such an important item, is such an important matter for us to understand and to respond to. I promise you, I'm not going to be long. I don't normally preach very long sermons. But I do want to explain this. It is such an important thing. I have four things I want to say this evening about the love of God as it is spoken about in the Bible. All that I say will come from this book, the Bible. This is God's book. God himself wrote this. And in this book, God explains to us about his love. So four things then this evening about the love of God. And the first is this: the love of God is a gracious love. The love of God is a gracious love. Now, I accept that we don't always use the word gracious, and if we do use it, we don't always use it in this context. But what I mean by this is that it is a love that we do not deserve. In fact, we deserve the very opposite. We, as human beings, have gone away from God. I don't think I need to spend hours making a case for that. You've only got to look at the world around you. You've only got to look at what happens in this world, all the wrong, all the sin, all the rebellion that happens, to know that we, the human race, we've gone away from God, from his law, from his ways. In fact, you don't even have to look at the world. If you are an honest person, you've only got to have a good look at your own life, at your own thoughts, your own words, your own actions. And if you're to be brutally honest with yourself, and there are times when it is good to be brutally honest with ourselves, if you are brutally honest with yourself, you will accept that you and I, we have gone away from God and from his way. We are what the Bible calls sinners. We have strayed from God. We have strayed seriously from God. And yet God acts in love. God shows his love to us. It is a gracious love. None of us has ever deserved this. None of us could ever look to God and say, "We earned your love. We were worthy of it. We had done things that merited your love, that deserved your love. It was right and proper and just that you should love us. If we're totally honest with us, we would have to say there is an injustice here that God should love us. It is rather like a person whose crime has been proved beyond a shadow of a doubt. He's there in the courtroom and the evidence has been heard. And nobody who has a clear grasp of the evidence could ever deny this person has really broken the law, and it's a huge problem that he's done. It's a huge breach of the law. And then the judge looks at him with kindness. And the judge says to him, I should have punished you. I should have sent you to prison for decades. But I'm going to show you kindness and mercy, and I'm going to do good things for you. It's scandalous. It's unjust. But that is God's love. God's love, in the first place, is a gracious love, because it is love to those who have not deserved it. But there's a second thing the Bible tells us about God's love. And it tells us this, that God's love is a real love. God's love is a real love. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, what I mean is that it's not in word only. You know, the three simplest words in the English language to speak is, I love you. And they're simple to speak because you don't know the heart. I could come to you after this service, I could shake you warmly by the hand, I could give you a smile, and I could say to you, my brother, my sister, I love you. That's very easy to do. We can actually become very professional, and some people do. We can become very professional, very good at doing this, simply uttering those three words. Are they real? How do I know that they're real? How do you know when I speak those words that they're real? And the only way we can know if love is real is where there is action that matches those words, action to back up that claim. And the verse that I've just read for you says this, for God so loved the world. There is that statement, God loves this sinful world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You see, these are not just words. God isn't sitting there in heaven and speaking nice words of love to this world that has gone seriously astray and is out of shape and saying, I love you and I love you and I love you. God has acted in love. And 2,000 years ago, God gave the greatest gift it is possible to give. Do you know, if you were to come to me, and you were to say to me, I have a favor I want to ask you. And you asked me for something. Excuse me, I'm going to take a drink. And you asked me for something. And you asked me for a whole load of money. I don't actually have a whole load of money. But you asked me for a lot of money. And I happen to have that amount. I may actually be moved to give you that. If I thought that your need was very great, I may think, well, all right, you need that, and I can see your need is great. But if you were to say to me, I want you to give up your son, I can't think anybody who would say, okay, no problem. Because our children are so precious to us. If you're a parent here today, our children are so precious to us. Even when they've grown up, they're still precious to us. This is why Christmas is such a lovely time. Our families come. And we spend time with those whom we love the most. And the Bible says, God gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks about God, who is three persons, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the three persons are eternal. And there was this eternal love between them. The purest love, the greatest love, the deepest love the universe can ever know is the love that exists between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And God sent the one whom he loves because it is a real love. You see, this is the wonderful thing about the love of God. It is gracious. We don't earn it. God doesn't look at us and say, now have you deserved my love today? And it is a real love. God doesn't just speak words. God has acted in love. God has sent his Son into the world. So the love of God is a gracious love. And the love of God is a real love. And thirdly, the love of God is a powerful love. The love of God is a powerful love. My text says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Whoever believes in him should not perish. The Lord Jesus came to this world as God's love gift to us. And the Lord Jesus came for a specific purpose. He came to save us from our sin. He came to save us from the effects of our sin, from the judgment that is due upon us because of our sin. He came to save us from the anger of God and the justice of God. And the Lord Jesus lived a perfect life here on earth. And at the end of his life, according to the plans and purposes of God, and the Bible makes that very clear, that everything that happened to him happened according to the determined plans and purposes of God. At the end of his life, he was arrested and he was crucified. It is the single greatest event this world has ever witnessed. In some little corner in the Middle East, just outside not a very large city, a small city called Jerusalem. And it wasn't one of the major cities of the world. It's a tiny city, really. And outside the city of Jerusalem, on a cross, Jesus Christ was crucified. And it is the greatest event the world has ever witnessed, because it was an event that was planned in eternity. It was an event that secured the salvation of God's people. Because when Jesus hung upon that cross, God laid the sins of his people upon him. And God punished him in our place. And Jesus on that cross paid the penalty that was due from us. Do you know, being a Christian is the most wonderful thing in the world? Because it means we know the forgiveness of our sins. It means we know a conscience that has been cleared before God. It means we know release from slavery to sin. All through the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. We sang a little earlier the hymn that we sang, When Love Came Down to Earth. And it says, when every clean thought and every sinful deed was scourged upon his back and hammered through his feet, the innocent is cursed, the guilty are released, the punishment of God on God has brought me peace. I wonder if you thought about those words. You see, he's saying that there on the cross, this exchange took place. The innocent is punished. Christ, who is innocent. Christ, who committed no sin. Christ, who was pure, perfect, sinless, is punished for sin. Not his sin, our sins. The innocent is cursed. The guilty are released. Because they have trusted in him and asked him to be their savior. I remember when I became a Christian, and a few months before I became a Christian, I got hold of this book, the Bible, and I read it. And I suggest this to you. Why not get hold of a Bible and read it? And as I read the Bible, I began to realize I was a sinner before God. I'd never thought of myself like that. I'd always thought of myself as a good, religious, moral person. But this book showed me my heart. I was a sinner before God. And towards the end of that process of reading the Bible, it took me about 6 months. I couldn't sleep at night. My conscience so troubled me. And I remembered one night going down on my knees and simply saying to Jesus, "Please save me." And I knew forgiveness. I slept like a baby that night. And my conscience has been clear ever since, not because I'm a good person, but because Christ has cleansed my conscience. And all who are Christians here today have that testimony. Our consciences have been cleansed in the blood of Jesus. The love of God is a powerful love. It brings forgiveness. It brings salvation. It brings fellowship with God. It brings release from slavery to sin. So the love of God is a gracious love. And the love of God is a real love. And the love of God is a powerful love. And fourthly and finally, the love of God is an eternal love. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I think this is one of the things about the love of God that rejoices our heart so much. That it is not temporary. It is not conditional and it's not temporary. God doesn't say, "I will only love you as long as you deserve my love." We don't deserve his love. It is a gracious love. And God doesn't say, "I will love you, yes, but it's only for a period." Those of us who are Christians, we know this. We know that when we die, we will stand before God in judgment. Indeed, all who die, we will stand before God in judgment. That day is coming. And we will one day die. And we will one day stand before God in judgment. And those of us who are Christians, we know this. Our sins have been forgiven. God has no record of sins against our name because Jesus has paid the penalty and removed those sins. They are gone. It's rather like you have a book with a person's name on it and his sins are recorded in it. And when God opens my book and those who are Christians, there is nothing. It is gone. It has been washed in the blood of Jesus. It is all forgiven. For us as Christians, death is not something to be feared. It is not something that terrifies us. Because we know it is the day we will enter into the presence of God and be with him for eternity. And eternity, people ask me this question, what is heaven like? The only answer I have is this. Heaven is a place where we enjoy the love of God for eternity. That's all I know about it, really. Heaven is the place where we will enjoy the love of God endlessly, eternity. It'll never end because the love of God is an eternal love. If you aren't a Christian here this evening, I commend my Savior to you, the Lord Jesus. And I say to you, come to him and ask him to be your Savior and your Lord. Ask him to forgive you your sin. Ask him to remove your record of sin. And you will know then the love of God that has been displayed in Christ. A gracious love, a real love, a powerful love, and an eternal love. Let's come together in prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do thank you for your love that has been displayed in Christ. We thank you that at this season of Christmas, we celebrate that love. And we pray, O God, for each one of us. May we have a real knowledge of that love. May we know it in our hearts. May we know Christ himself, the gift of God given in love. Lord, we pray that we would truly know that love eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. Let's rise to sing. Thank you.